30 years ago, a handful of teenagers began rapping in the Bronx. Today, rap and hip-hop are hugely popular all over the world, and in Cuba, the communist regime set up the Cuban Rap Agency, which is exactly what it sounds like. The state there actually chooses which hip-hop musicians become stars and then pays their salaries. Shayna Bromberg met up with one certified Cuban rap producer at his studio outside Havana, in his parents' apartment, in a bedroom he shares with his grandmother.
Yo, my grandmother, she's the one opening the mixtape. I got her in the microphone like, yo, grandma, kick it.
Oye, ya vamos a empezar. Tenemos que empezar ya.
Sí.
Así que vamos a ver qué sucede. Que salga bien todo.
Directamente desde La Habana, Cuba, a la mar, los increíbles.
This mixtape is the first CD Edgar Gonzalez produced from his studio. It's a diverse compilation of Cuban hip-hop that he collected from all over the island. Edgar is a professional MC, songwriter, producer, and graffiti artist. He joined one of Cuba's most famous hip-hop groups, the duo Doble Filo, Double Edge, at 15. Edgar's bedroom is packed full of studio equipment, including a music sampler for hip-hop. There's only one other like it in Cuba. Edgar turned 20 this year, but he's been into rap since he was just a kid.
I mean, I'm not gonna say any lies. I loved Vanilla Ice. Yo, when that song came on, Ice, Ice, Baby. Dun, 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 dun. Yo, I loved MC Hammer. Yo, when MC Hammer came, oh my God. And I always had a problem because I wanted to have his same haircut. My mom took me to the barber. I'm like, yo, I want to be like MC Hammer. He's like, yo, kid, you don't have the same hair. Chill.
Edgar lives in Alamar, towards the east of Havana. It's the largest housing project in Cuba, and mostly black Cubans live there. Hip-hop began to take root in Alamar by the late 80s, when kids in the neighborhood picked up radio broadcasts from Florida. They started imitating American rap, the gestures, the lyrics, the breakdancing, even layering on coats and scullies in the Caribbean heat.
Maybe it would seem like something like strange, like, yo, what's up with these kids with all these coats? It's hot.
As rap got more popular in Cuba, American artists started to come to the annual Cuban Rap Festival. Socially conscious performers like Mos Def and Talib Kweli.
So many MCs focusing on black people extermination. We keep it balanced with that knowledge of self-determination.
Pablo Herrera is a Cuban producer and hip-hop historian.
That was a great thing because it sort of configured the path of Cuban hip-hop. Kept him from being astray into the world of commercialism.
The positive, righteous messages of those groups made a big impact on Cuban teens.
I started like changing my message to like talk about stuff that really concern people. Something my mom can listen and can relate to. Something like older person can relate to. Trying to be more open.
Edgar's songs with Doble Filo talk about self-image, national pride, and racial equality. Hip-hop artists, having grown up with the Cuban Revolution, embrace leftist idealism in their songs. Cuban hip-hop is not as nihilistic as American rap, and Pablo Herrera says it has to do with Cuban culture.
Family is a very key thing, so the need to rebel is always going to be a lot more constructive and responsible. Because you have been given an education to not destroy what's there.
But Cuban hip-hop does address problems in Cuban society, like poverty, which exploded as Soviet aid vanished in the early 1990s. Obsesión, the husband and wife duo, have songs about prostitution and sexism. Others write about the treatment of black Cubans. During an informal peña, or jam session on the street, the members of Afroclan rap ¿Por qué me molesta? About police harassment.
¿Qué es que nos molesta?
Que no se nos tenga en cuenta.
¿Qué es lo que nos molesta?
Que se nos mienta.
Diciendo verdades yo, a ver que se molesta.
While these groups tackle social inequalities in Cuban society, they stop short of directly criticizing the government or the revolution.
There's this kind of what I see as a working relationship or kind of strategic alliances that exist.
Sujatha Fernandez is a professor at Princeton University, who has studied Cuban hip-hop.
I've actually seen surprisingly very little censorship, and I think that there could be a variety of reasons for that. One, the ways in which rappers have actually self-consciously collaborated with the state and sought to work with the state. The state can, on the other hand, overlook certain things that may be critical of it and may even encourage criticism as a positive thing.
And at least for now, the Cuban state is embracing the messages of underground hip-hop. So while 10 years ago the police shut down concerts that were not planned with state support, today the government is in on the act.
The Cuban state realizes the kind of potential and power the Cuban rap music has within Cuban society, that it engages the energies and imaginations of a range of Cuban youth, and particularly Afro-Cuban youth, to support its own sort of project for revolutionary change and change within the revolution.
Cuban hip-hop even has an institutional presence. The government organizes the annual rap festival that takes place in Havana. And just 2 years ago, the Ministry of Culture created the Cuban Rap Agency. It officially sponsors 8 groups. Edgar Gonzalez and Pablo Herrera are 2 of the artists that draw a small government salary. But even though rap is part of the bureaucracy, the state-controlled media hasn't shown much interest. You won't hear a lot of Cuban hip-hop on the radio or TV. What you will hear, constantly, is reggaeton, a dancehall music that is huge all over Latin America. Pablo Herrera says rap artists find it frustrating.
How come you will play reggaeton in the radio, but you won't play my music that's actually trying to support you as a revolution? It's very contradictory.
But most Cuban hip-hop groups don't even have an album to play on the radio. The agency's rap label, Acere, released only 3 albums this year. And the only way for an artist to land a deal with a major label is if they emigrate. So artists like Edgar produce records on their own and sell them at their shows.
We don't have to leave, and nobody has to come from another country to do our music, like Buena Vista Social Club and other stuff. If you put your mind to it, you can do, you know, a lot of stuff, yes, from here.
It's that kind of independent thinking, more than the government sponsorship, that keeps Cuba's hip-hop movement alive. For Edgar, this is the real music, the real story of young people's lives in Cuba. This Doble Filo song puts it simply. It says, I am the voice of the barrio, and what I do is necessary. For Studio 360, I'm Shayna Bromberg.
Para cantando necesito una razón.